Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS. We are Catholic Radio for the Christian community. Good morning. Welcome to Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor.
And today, Chris, we're delighted to welcome on board Father Oscar Lukifer. With more than 40 years' experience as a religious educator, Father is one of America's most popular interpreters of the Catholic faith. Also the author of numerous books, preaches at parish missions, and is dedicated to helping Catholics develop a clear understanding of their faith in a very interesting and enjoyable manner. And today we are delighted to have with us, affectionately known as Father Luke by everyone, for a talk about his book called We Pray, Living in God's Presence. And Father, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Father, I've enjoyed your work for years. I think even beginning with the We Believe, the survey of the Catholic faith, your style is truly what it is to be a catechist.
Well, thank you.
Catechesis is something that, you know, just trying to break open those truths of our faith, but how we live it out. And We Pray, Living in God's Presence, is just such a wonderful response to that need by so many to know, I just can't pray.
Well, thank you very much. I try to bring the truths of the faith to a level where any of us can understand it and to make it interesting and enjoyable if possible.
What do you suppose is the biggest blocks that people put up for themselves when it comes to prayer?
I'm not really sure. As I mentioned in the book, there are difficulties such as distractions, but I think people just don't know how to begin. You know, talking to God, how do you talk to God?
Mm-hmm.
And they just don't know where to begin. They don't know how God speaks to us. And in some cases, I've just been amazed to find out how people who've been Catholic all their life just don't know how to pray, period. They know how to say prayers like the Our Father or Hail Mary, but that's about it.
I think that's really true, because I think it begins with understanding that God has created each of us so uniquely that our dialogue and our communication with Him would be unique to who we are.
That's correct, but it also includes the fact that we are God's children, and God mm-hmm. loves us the way a loving parent loves children. And we need to begin with that realization, that we're not dealing with someone who's an angry judge or someone who mistrusts us, but we're dealing with a loving God who views us as children.
And in that desire to love us and to be with us, He reveals Himself in so many ways. And for many people, He's found in Scripture, but as you point out, He can also be found in creation.
Yes, and as the book points out too, we're lucky to be living at a time when scientists have discovered so much about the universe and about the complexity of life that it reveals God's greatness to us and God's attention to details. And it's brought, as the book points out, a lot of former atheists to belief in God. We're just blessed to have all this knowledge available to us and to realize that it reveals so much about God to us.
Right. And Father, another aspect that I really love about this book is the fact that oftentimes the word love is overused in so many different ways, and I think prayer kind of falls into that category from time to time, that it almost comes from our lips. If someone's having a problem or someone has a concern or needs something, you know, we'll say that I'll pray for you. And really being able to get into this book really does break that open. And I guess my question is, when we pray, how does God really kind of go about listening to us?
Well, God is God, and God is way beyond me, so I'm sure that He listens to us in ways that we can't imagine. But God is certainly far more attentive to us than the best of friends could be, than the best of human friends could be. God is far more attentive to every thought and every word and every need than we can possibly imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And, just imagine your best friend who really cares about you listening to you with all his or her attention, and then multiply that by about 100 billion, and you have God.
Well, then I guess on the flip side of that, then how do we go about hearing what He has to say to us when we pray?
Well, the book points out, of course, that God speaks to us through the beauty of creation, but the most obvious way I think we can hear God speaking to us is through Scripture. Scripture is inspired by God, and God speaks to us today the words that He spoke several thousand years ago to Abraham and Moses and to St. Paul and to all the others in Scripture. And Jesus speaks to us today in Scripture using the same words that He used when He was speaking to the people of His time. I think to appreciate this, to realize that the inspiration of Scripture means that God's not limited by space or time, and the words that he addressed to those individuals thousands of years ago, he addresses to us here and now.
Mm-hmm.
God also speaks to us in prayer through the thoughts and memories and pictures and so on he places into our mind in prayer, but Scripture to me is the most obvious way we can hear clearly what God is saying to us.
What you do with the book, We Pray, Living in God's Presence, is you help us to practice that, because through the questions for discussion and reflection, and also the activities that are found at the end of each chapter, we learn something, we glean something, but then you help us to implement it.
Well, thank you. And because the book was developed with the help of a study group, two study groups as a matter of fact, a lot of the questions and activities come from the individuals involved there. And these are everyday lay people who are trying to learn how to pray, and their suggestions and their ideas were very helpful in the construction of the book.
It's also helpful for us to realize that in prayer, well, for so many, and I know I did in a period of my life, I was always asking for something. But as you point out, there are actually the acts of prayer, ACTS.
That's right. Adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, and supplication. And supplication is just a big word for petition or asking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to realize that the adoration, the contrition, the thanksgiving come before supplication,
mm-hmm.
and all are important parts of prayer. And again, we find all of them in Scripture, and there are practical ways to address God and to speak to God.
Yeah, I wonder how often it is that we think of, even when we've asked in a form of supplication to God for something, that we actually give thanks afterwards with as much energy.
That's a good point. And Father Rossetti, I quote Father Rossetti in the book talking about how gratitude is good for us.
Mm-hmm.
We need to realize that gratitude to God doesn't benefit God at all. God is everything. But gratitude benefits us, and to not just to ask for things, but to remember to thank God is so important.
When we offer those prayers of supplication, I think sometimes we're not sure what to pray for, because even as you grow in your spiritual life, do I ask for this to be removed? Do I ask for the suffering to go away? Or that's, I think, one of the bigger stumbling blocks, is what should our attitude be?
Well, St. Paul says we don't know how to pray as we ought, and so we need the Holy Spirit. I think in any situation where we're not sure how we ought to pray, we need to turn to the Holy Spirit and ask for guidance. But, of course, the Bible teaches us, and the book points this out, that we can pray for absolutely anything that is good.
Well, I think so, too. And even if it means asking for help to be able to bear whatever it is that we need to, whatever the cross is.
Certainly. Well, Jesus himself, you know, prayed to know the Father's will and prayed that the cross of suffering might be taken away from him if it was God's will. But then again, not my will, Jesus said, but yours be done. And so we imitate Jesus when we pray, asking for to know God's will and asking for God's strength to do what the Lord wants of us.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is just you have to know God and to be able to rest with him. And you took me so aback in the book when you told a story of a very dear man who I knew, gosh, was it over 10 years ago since he passed away, was Father Rick Arkfeld.
Mm.
Great man.
Yeah. Oh, just tremendous man. And you talked about him in the book and about his example of being able to remain with Jesus.
Yes, that wonderful story that he told about the old priest who spoke to a person in the hospital and to a man who was dying. And well, I won't try to tell the whole story now, but mm-hmm. it's just a marvelous story and really teaches a lot about prayer. Father Arkfeld was a marvelous speaker, and he had been through a great deal of suffering in his life with cancer, mm-hmm. but he also had a terrific sense of humor. And in many ways, I've tried to imitate that in the book, to imitate Father Arkfeld's trust in God and his great sense of humor.
I think being able to communicate with a loved one, I know because I'm married to Bruce, and we've been married for, 23 years now, Bruce?
Yeah, we're in our 24th year.
And there are so many times now where we can just sit quietly in a room and communicate to each other certain things we just know. You don't even have to say things. But then there are times when you need to verbalize.
That's right. And in the book, I talk about the fact that there are so many different ways to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you verbalize your needs. Other times you just sit in God's presence and enjoy God's presence and let God speak to you. Prayer is like contemplative prayer as it is explained in the Catechism of the Church, centering prayer, the Jesus prayer. There are so many wonderful ways of Catholic prayer. Mm-hmm. And in the book, I compare them to good food at a wonderful restaurant. The Church invites us to try them all.
Yeah,
and you also, again, so concretely help people in those first stages of just knowing that five-step method of being able to just quiet yourself and become aware of God's presence. To tell somebody to do that is one thing. I mean, just to verbally say, quiet yourself and be in God's presence. It's another thing to concretely give them steps and how to enter into that. And I think that's what's so helpful.
Well, thank you. Those five steps are steps that I've used many times myself, and they make a wonderful form of prayer, not just an introduction to prayer, but a wonderful way to get in touch with God. And that notion of sitting quietly in a chair and paying attention to your breathing, listen to the sounds of life, be sensitive to the experience of touch, and even feel your heart beating. And then what I try to do is bounce off scripture passages that reflect to these five ways of being in God's presence and listening to God and letting God speak to us. There are just so many ways of prayer that are so beautiful, and they've been handed down to us in our Catholic Church, and we're so blessed to have them.
Right. And Father, I think one of the best, at least for me anyway, time and time again, is to enter into liturgical prayer. And that's an opportunity that we have weekly, actually daily.
Yes, indeed. And there is a chapter on liturgical prayer. And again, as Catholics, we're blessed to believe that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on earth, he does here and now in our lives, at the Mass, in confession, in all kinds of liturgical prayer. And we're blessed to have so many forms of liturgical prayer, not just for clergy, but for lay people as well, such as the Book of Blessings,
mm-hmm.
and the Liturgy of the Hours. And that, of course, is the prayer of the Church. And when we pray liturgical prayer, we're in touch in a special way with the whole Church, but also with the saints in heaven, and with our loved ones who've gone before us, and with the souls in purgatory. Such a powerful prayer, because it's the prayer of Jesus and the prayer of the Church.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought up the saints as well, because over the last few years, that really has become, it's transformed my prayer life, is praying with the saints, praying with in different situations with different saints, given their position, meditating on their life. And you really do become closer to God as they are kind of like guiding you down a path.
Yes, the saints are our leaders, and of course, many Catholics don't appreciate how much teaching there is about prayer with the saints and to the saints in Scripture. And I've tried to point out some of those passages that show that even Jesus talked to the saints, Moses and Elijah at the mm-hmm. Mount of Transfiguration, that even Jesus enlisted the saints during his life after his resurrection, enlisted the saints to go and appear to people in Jerusalem. So if it's good enough for Jesus, it should be good enough for us to be in touch with the saints. And it's such a blessing, as you pointed out. And it seems to be increasing, an appreciation of this is increasing in the world today.
Well, we certainly need it, don't we? I mean, in this country, we've gone through, in the last several weeks, some really, really trying situations, not just as individuals, but also collectively as a community. And I don't know how we can sustain ourselves unless we do have prayer.
That's so very true. And with the shootings and the war going on and so many other troublesome things, the weather sometimes gets out of control.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than we can handle. But God is always there, and the history of our Church, the lives of the saints, show us that no matter what the difficulty may be, with God's help, it can be overcome. That's why I mentioned some of those death camp experiences during the Second World War,
mm-hmm.
and how God can bring human beings through almost anything. It seems beyond our ability, and it is without God. But if we learn how to be in touch with God, to live in God's presence, it's amazing what the saints have accomplished.
And, of course, there is that aspect, of course, of always giving thanks. You know, with the lows that we had with the shootings at Virginia Tech, of course, came some great news out of the Supreme Court that partial birth abortion, the law that was passed in 2003, would be upheld. And for all the many, many millions who've been praying for even a small crack in that seemingly hugely fortified wall that the abortionists have placed up around the courts, certainly it's very important to take time and give thanks to, isn't it, Father?
Yes, life is very much like that. There's the death, and then there's resurrection, and it it occurs in so many forms. And I think that's an important part of our prayer, too, and of liturgical prayer, getting into what the Church calls the Paschal mystery. The sufferings and death of Christ are a part of our life in many ways, but there's always the resurrection and the ascension and being at God's right hand that follows. And to be able to get through the hard times by looking at the good things, and to be able to thank God for the latest Supreme Court decision, while at the same time being in anguish with those who've lost loved ones in the Virginia Tech shootings. Right. And there's that death and resurrection. It's so much a part of being human, but it's also part of prayer.
I think one of the sections in the book that I think makes it all relevant as well is that you point out that prayer is a path to heaven. We can't lose our focus. That's where we want to get to. That's the place, isn't it?
Yes, and we can so easily get distracted in this world. I think that's one of the problems in today's world. There's so much prosperity for so many people, and we start thinking we can get by on our own. But until you lived a while, you don't realize how fast 60 years can go by.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what does it all mean unless there's more? St. Augustine said that our hearts are restless, and they won't rest until they rest in God. That's because we've been made for God. And I try to point that out in the book, that this life is so very short, and mm-hmm. it's not enough. And that's because God has made us for so much more, for heaven.
I'm so happy, too, that you also included all the popular Catholic prayers, because I think sometimes, yes, people could say them rote style and may not even appreciate the words that they're saying, but sometimes they serve such a purpose. I know there have been times in my life where I've been so afraid, or I've been so sad, or just so at a loss for words, that by saying the Hail Mary, it just carries you.
Yes, and we're blessed again as Catholics to have this prayer tradition of vocalized prayers that have been handed down to us. And when we pray them, when you pray the Hail Mary, you know you're praying it with millions and millions of other Catholics down through the ages. And I think it brings us together in the communion of the saints. And it's certainly given me hope and strength in times of confusion or in times when I needed God's grace and help and strength.
Right.
Anybody out there listening, I think we pray living in God's presence is a wonderful tool to begin that process, to realize that there are many different ways that we can and we should communicate with God. And wouldn't you say, Father, again, just addressing that each person is different, a personality, somebody who is a very heady person may find that scripture feeds them completely, but somebody who doesn't like to read or somebody who likes to take walks outside, that may be a way that God's communicating with them as well.
That's very true, that God speaks to us in so many ways. And God speaks to us, as we've already pointed out, through nature. God speaks to us in scripture. God speaks to us in our thoughts and memories and minds. God speaks to us through other people. God speaks to us through the pets that we have. It's just amazing mm-hmm. the many ways that God can speak to us, and all we have to do is learn how to be attentive to God, and then we'll be more and more living in the presence of God,
right.
Which makes life so much better.
Yeah, it certainly does. And one of the other aspects, too, I just want to point out is the fact that there are a lot of cross-references throughout this book to the Catechism of the Catholic Church as well. So if you want to find out more information about, you know, why some of these things are in place and why Father has brought them up, that's a great way to get even deeper into the Catechism. And that can't be a bad thing either, can it, Father?
Well, God has given us the two great pillars of our faith, the Bible and the Catechism, sacred scripture and sacred tradition, and we're blessed as Catholics to have them. And the Catechism is just a wonderful resource for us. And you're right, the more we get into the Catechism, the more we'll love and appreciate our faith and understand our faith and understand Scripture as it ought to be understood.
Right. One of the other aspects that I want to point out, too, because my spiritual director is always after me on this, too, is just let's make time for adoration, everybody. I mean, some of the most deep, profound, wonderful prayer experiences that you can possibly have is in the presence of our Lord in the Eucharist, is it not, Father?
That is for sure, and it's such a great thing that so many parishes throughout the country are beginning to reestablish patterns of Eucharistic adoration. But it's important for us Catholics to know that we don't have to have a formal period. We can stop in at any Catholic church at any time and pay a visit to the Lord, and Jesus is truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. That sacramental presence is just awe-inspiring.
Yeah.
And to spend some time in the presence of the Lord is just one of the great gifts of being Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just as in everything that you write, Father, we pray living in God's presence is yet again a wonderful way of helping someone feel affirmed in what they may already be doing, but also to learn and to be open to new experiences.
Well, thank you. And I tried to place also a lot of humor in the book.
Yeah, you do. You have that.
One of the things about being a priest for more than 40 years is that I've met so many wonderful people and had so many experiences that involve humor, and I've tried to bring as much of that as possible into the book because Jesus had a great sense of humor, as I point out in the book, and I think it's important for us to find joy in God's presence, be able to laugh, and to realize that God smiles on us as we do.
Absolutely. One of the other aspects, too, and I know a lot of the great saints and even Mother Teresa, I was thinking of St. John of the Cross, I mean, sometimes all of us experience a little difficulty in prayer, a little hardship, maybe times where we feel like we're not really certain that we're being heard, even though deep in our hearts, you know, we know that's the case. And there's just some wonderful information in this book, too, about what to do when you encounter some difficulties with prayer, because they're going to be there, too, aren't they, Father?
They certainly are. I read the life of St. Padre Pio, and I quote that incident from his book where he was asked to pray for a farmer's cow, and he said at Mass, he prayed that the farmer's cow might die, and afterwards the farmer came up to the priest and said, I ask you to pray for my cow, and you pray that my cow would die, in the story. The priest says, oh, don't worry, God always does the exact opposite of what I ask. Your cow's going to be fine. And if St. Padre Pio could tell a story like that, it shows that he recognized the fact that we have problems in prayer. Mm-hmm. And he did himself. And so once we realize that there's not something wrong with us because we experience difficulties in prayer, even the saints had difficulties. Once we realize this, I think we're on solid ground for moving ahead whenever problems come our way.
Right. And Father, what would you say to somebody who says, and again, we hear it quite often, sometimes we experience ourselves, I just don't have enough time, or I'm just too busy to pray?
I think I would say that we find time to eat, we find time to sleep, and prayer is certainly as essential to our lives as eating. And it's necessary as sleeping. Now, we don't want to put the sleeping and the prayer together.
Right.
But we just must find time for things that we know are truly essential. And once we appreciate that fact, we will find time to pray. But we may have to be reminded of the necessity of it. Husbands and wives need to speak to each other, but sometimes they get so busy that they don't have time. I've met couples who realize the problems that can come up when they don't speak as much as they should to each other. Right. And they arrange to have a date each week, or they set aside a quiet time each day where they can speak together. And it does wonders for their marriage. And it's the same thing with God. We need to set aside time to be in touch with God. And prayer is as essential to our life as food and air and water.
That's right, spiritual food.
Sometimes maybe even more so.
Excellent. Because, you know, how much we've eaten or when we've eaten 1,000 years from now is not going to matter that much. But whether we prayed and how much we prayed 1,000 years from now is going to make a whole lot of difference to us.
Right. Oh, well said.
Yeah. Well, let's just try and get obese on prayer then.
Yeah, really. Let's be gluttons for prayer.
That's a good way to put it. It's been my experience as a priest, because years ago I heard a retreat talk by Archbishop Fulton Sheen, and he recommended the priest that we spend an hour in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament every day, and I've really tried to do that. And it has been such a great blessing. It's the best part of my day, and I just can't imagine giving that up. It's more important than food. And I would say, if you pray, you will find that to be true. The time you spend with God will make you much more effective in everything else you do, and it'll bring happiness and satisfaction to your life in a way that nothing else can.
Amen to that.
Satisfies the hungry heart.
Exactly.
Food for the soul. How many other cliches can we come up with?
Well, we've done a few there.
It works.
Yes, it does. We've been chatting with Father Oscar Lukifer, affectionately known as Father Luke. And Father Luke, thank you so much. He is the author of the book, We Pray, Living in God's Presence. We do want to encourage everyone to pick up a copy of this.
I would just like to ask Father if he wouldn't mind bestowing his priestly blessing upon us.
I'd be happy to you and to all your listeners. And thank you for the wonderful work that you're doing in Catholic Radio. God our Father, Lord Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, we ask you to bless all those who are involved in spreading your word. So bless Bruce and Chris and all their listeners. Keep them in your care in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you so much. We deeply appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. God bless you both.